Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In 2 Peter chapter 2, which is our text this morning, 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter has told God's people about the total trustworthiness of God's word. The fact that no prophecy came about as a result of man's own interpretation, but instead, the holy men of old wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was God speaking through them. That's where we got the scriptures. But now in chapter 2, he's going to tell us that not everybody who claims to be speaking on behalf of God is really speaking God's word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Peter is warning that there have always been false teachers, people who speak as if they are the authority, but what they are saying is contrary to the authority of God's word. There have always been people like that. And Peter says, until Jesus comes again, there always will be people like that. The man, as we've said in the previous chapter, knows that he's dying. He knows his time is short, but he's writing because he's so eager to make sure that those he loves in the Lord are going to stay true to the Lord and to his word. And so he wants them to know it is absolutely imperative, he says, that you know above all that God's word is trustworthy. Now he's saying, but understand, there will be people who will claim to speak in God's name, who will be saying things that are false. So how do you know if it's true or it's false? God's word. See, if you know this is real, then you're able to recognize what's false. Years ago, a woman was sitting at dinner with the head of the unit at Scotland Yard, the famous detective bureau in the United Kingdom. She was sitting there at dinner with this fellow, and he was the head of the unit that dealt with counterfeit currency. And she said, oh my, you must have examined all kinds of counterfeit currency to be able to recognize them. He said, no, ma'am, I continually study the authentic, because if I know what is real, then I can spot the counterfeit. Folks, that's the way to recognize false teaching. You don't have to spend your life making a study of all the different false teachings out there. There's all kinds of stuff that's false. If you want to recognize the false from the true, study what's true. Study what's real. Study what's right. Study what God has said. Study the scriptures. And as you study the Bible, more and more you learn to recognize the voice of God. Do you ever have an impulse to do something and you're not sure if it's God or not? And sometimes you just know, okay, that is not God. You know, God would not lead me to steal something. How do you know that? How do you know God wouldn't say, steal that? God says, thou shalt not steal. He's already spoken. When I was in college, there were two young people who found themselves in the embarrassing situation of the girl expecting a child and the two of them not being married. And so their friends said, you know, what happened? How did you guys give into that temptation? Well, we were really in love with each other and we prayed about it. And we asked God if it would be okay, and we believe the Lord told us that it was okay. Okay. Suppose we pray about whether or not it's okay to murder people. Okay? I mean, you know, there's just some people who bug me. And so I was thinking, instead of my having to put up with them, I ought to just pray about whether it'd be okay with God for me to just go ahead and off them. Does that make sense? No, God's already said, thou shalt not murder. I don't need to pray about whether or not it's okay to do something God said not to do. This guy Balaam, who's spoken of in this chapter, got in trouble precisely because he asked God, can I go and do this? They're offering me a lot of money if I'll preach what they want me to preach. So is it okay if I do that? And God said, no. So he went back to the people who wanted to hire him to prophesy against Israel, and he said, look, I can't do it. God said, no. And so they offered him more money. And so he says, well, excuse me, let me go ask. Why would you go ask? God already said no, but it's because they were offering a lot of money. And Balaam was greedy. He was a preacher for hire, like a lot of preachers today. And so his thinking was, well, maybe God will change his mind. Oh, yeah, that is so like God, right? So if you have to be rebuked by a donkey, you're not real sharp, okay? And yet, I can relate. I can relate. When something is tempting us, and we know God says no, and then we want to kind of circle back around and see if God's still saying no. That's a problem. That's what these folks are up to. Verse 1 still, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Please notice, they don't announce, hey, we're going to give you some false teaching today. They will secretly introduce heresies. But these heresies are destructive heresies. They're destructive. I shared before a fellow who invited me to preach at his church in Georgia. And after I got down there, he was telling me how the church had recently been through a difficult time, but he was so glad they made it through okay. There was a group within their denomination that was trying to coalesce and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And he had led his church in not joining that group and voting against that resolution because he said it would have been divisive because not everybody in the church believes Jesus is the only way. Well, not everybody in the church doesn't believe that Jesus is the only way. How about if we get the Christians together and call that a church? Okay? But you see, this guy, nice fellow, well-educated, well-spoken, well-dressed, well-groomed, was teaching that it doesn't really matter. You know, we want to encourage you to believe in Jesus, but if you believe in something else, that's okay too. You know, it's just as long as you have faith. No! Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Anybody who does not buy into that is not one of us. Well, now see, you're speaking in a very exclusive way. You're talking about who's in, who's out. Let me tell you something. You are either in Christ or you're not in Christ. In Christ, there is salvation. In Christ alone. He's the only way. If you think, well, I'm, you know, that's too exclusive for me. Okay, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. So, these folks are introducing dangerous, destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. And the result will be swift destruction. Many, however, verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Not only do the individuals themselves get hurt, but it wrecks the witness of the church. We had the tragic headlines in the news locally. Two ministers being arrested in a sting that the police did. Thank God for the police doing this. They did a sting and found these two preachers were trying to meet up with what they believed were underage young people for the purpose of sex. One of the two was a children's minister. Let me tell you something. This is not a new problem. It's a tragic problem. It's a serious problem, but it's an ancient problem. There have always been people who pretend to be one of us. But that doesn't mean they are. Because not only are there heresies that they introduce. But if you read the rest of the description here, they're liars. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. What's the problem with that? It's a lie. That's the problem with it. Years ago, I was with a friend in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We were both teenagers. He starts trying to share the gospel with some people who'd come into the restaurant where we were eating. We were at a missions conference as teenagers in Gatlinburg. And as he's talking to these druggies, he starts telling the man, you don't want to go down that road, you know. I've been there, I've done that. It's really a dead end. You don't want to go there. I thought, man, I didn't know he used to do drugs. Well, after we'd finished the conversation and those guys had left, I turned to him, I said, I didn't know that you experimented with drugs. He said, oh, I didn't. And I said, well, you just told those guys you did. Yeah, well, I was trying to relate to them. I said, you're lying to them in order to try and tell them about the way, the truth, and the life? That is not good witnessing. That's lying. Don't do that. These people do it for a living. Okay? They do it for a living. They're liars. And you can't believe what they say about everyday stuff. You can't believe what they say about their own history. And you can't believe what they say about Jesus, because they don't know him. They don't know him. Talks about God's judgment. Back in verse 3, it says, their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. And then he talks about the angels who were cast down because of the rebellion in heaven. And then he talks about the people of the earth who were destroyed in Noah's day. And then he talks about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah who were destroyed in Lot's day. And he shows how in each case, when God poured out his judgment, it was powerful, it was devastating, but God also knew how to spare those who were his. God in mercy spared some from the judgment. And so he's saying, you are living in a world where there will always be false teachers. God is going to destroy them, and he will spare those who are trusting in him. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to get swept up too in God's wrath. You won't. God knows those who are his. And he will spare those who are his. But if you're not his, you better know that judgment is coming. And you need to repent while you have the opportunity. Verse 13, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. With eyes full of adultery, verse 14, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. Verse 17, these men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. What is a spring without water? It's a hole in the ground. You understand? I mean, the whole purpose of a spring is that water comes out there. You can go there. Well, imagine if you go to the spring and there's no water. He says, that's what these false teachers are doing. They offer you something and they can't deliver. It's an invitation to death and destruction. Look at what it says here in verse 19. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You understand that? The devil says, hey, I'll show you a good time. We're like, really? Me? Wow. Me? Thanks. And then it turns out, he's a vicious liar. This is all a ruse. This is a trick. How can I be so stupid? Well, how do you know if it's true or it's false? God's word. That's why before he tells us about the false teachers, he tells us about the truth of God's word. He says, you need to understand this. Don't lose sight of this. This is more important than anything else. Please get it. God's word is completely trustworthy. It'll never lead you wrong. You can believe every bit of it. It is all about Jesus, and it's all true. If you will meditate on God's word when the devil comes along with his lies, and sometimes the devil will quote scripture like he did to Jesus. Jesus didn't respond by saying, oh, well, let's say I need to do something else now. Jesus responded with scripture, demonstrating by his response that the way the devil was quoting the scripture was dishonest. Please, you need to know this book. You need to know the scriptures. You need to dive in, be immersed in the word of God so that you can stand against the lies of the enemy. There are a couple of phrases that are used in this chapter that make it sound as if Maybe these are Christians who lost their salvation. Back in verse 1, it says of these false prophets, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Well, that sounds like then they must be Christians. Look at verse 20. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Oh no. Does that mean that I can lose my salvation? Well, sounds like it. If those are the only two verses we had about the subject, I would say apparently so. But they're not. Not only do we have other verses elsewhere that talk about the fact that God's people will persevere, but I want you to see this passage itself contains the answer to the question. Verse 22, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. These people were never changed on the inside. They got changed on the outside. They learned the command. They heard it. They even believed it was true, but they were never transformed. They were never born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There are a lot of people who have heard the message and believe it's true, but they've never, never yielded their lives to Christ. Do you think the devil knows what the gospel is? Yeah. Of course he does. Do you think he knows that Jesus is God? You better believe it. You think he knows Jesus died on the cross? Of course. He was there. You think he knows that Jesus rose from the dead? Absolutely he knows that. And it pains him greatly. Do you think he knows that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Of course he does. He knows his time is short. Is he saved? No. Why not? Because his response to the truth is to say, no! He knows it and he hates it. He knows who Jesus is, but he does not want to bow. He'll do what he has to when he has to. But he's hostile. These folks, you know why a dog returns to its vomit? Because it's a dog. That's why. That's what dogs do. You know why a sow that is washed still goes back to her wallowing? Because it's a pig. A female pig is still a pig. And the reason these people do what they do is because they never were saved. In 1 John we read, they went out from us because they were not of us, because if they were of us, they would not have gone out from us. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Nobody loses their salvation. God doesn't let go of those he's rescued. But let me tell you something. Hanging out in church, knowing the answers to the questions on the Bible quiz, that won't get you into heaven. You can know it, you can preach it, but if God hasn't changed your life, you still need to be saved. And so I plead with you while you have the opportunity. As Peter says in the previous verses, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're really trusting Christ. It is not enough just to know this stuff intellectually. You need new life. You need Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.